Welcome to Campaign Crunch, our concise companion to Socially Unacceptable. This is a much shorter version of the show, and we delve into the best marketing campaigns, dissecting successes, missteps, and everything in between, all in under 20 minutes. Each episode tackles a specific campaign or crisis, meticulously examining its strategy, execution, and most importantly, the key takeaways for you and your brand.
So, hi everyone. Today we're joined by Victoria, who's going to talk about a very interesting campaign and also explain a few things to me, because in the pre-briefing I had no idea what this product was, and there's been a few kind of glares and frowns in the office because apparently I was supposed to understand what it was. So
Will thought it was something to do with golf.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's a tournament, doesn't it? That's, I must admit, I did think that. So Victoria, do you want to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at Prohibition before you go into your campaign?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Will and Chris. I'm a senior account manager at Prohibition. I've been with the team for just over 5 years now. And I mean, we work super integratedly across a lot of clients at Prohibition, but I personally love working across the influencer side of things and creative social side of things, which is why I kind of was drawn to what Stanley Cup has been doing as of late, the past few years, really. Which has kind of culminated in this huge sort of viral sensation that is now Stanley Cup, which is why I can't quite believe Will has never seen or heard of one before.
Yeah, so I must admit, I did think it was a golf tournament, and I'm told it's not. So can you start by explaining to some of our listeners who may not know what a Stanley Cup is?
Well, a lot of people know Stanley. It's the Stanley the brand.
It is Stanley the DIY brand, is it?
Yeah. So it's... the OG American brand, basically, great heritage to the brand. They started out as essentially aimed at the American like hiking audience and outdoorsy audience. They basically anything that needed a vacuum seal on it, they made it. Think really traditional, like thermos flasks, that kind of thing. And as you can imagine, there's only so far you can go with tapping into this kind of really focused male audience. The company was kind of not necessarily declining or anything, but plateauing in terms of sales. So they needed something to really sort of pick up the brand and tap into new audiences, which is where the kind of new format of the cup has come from. But they went about it in quite a non-traditional way for a brand. So essentially what's happened to Stanley as a brand, they've gone from what they describe as a green, male and hot product and turned it into a colourful female and cold product. Bear with me on this one. So yeah, when you'd be putting your sort of, I don't know, flasks of coffee, tea, whatever, whilst you're going hiking in these old products, now we are tapping into the kind of female audience, the sort of huge trend for getting your water in, making sure you're drinking all day, every day. So that's what it's all about now. And yeah, they went about it in a really non-traditional way. And essentially, the success of what's happened with Stanley over the past few years is they knew when to seize the right opportunity when it came to influencers. We know as social people, all day, every day, we'll get approached by influencers for any and all of the brands that we work with. And it can be quite a job to sort of weed out who is actually going to be a really spot-on brand partner. And clearly the in-house Stanley team did a really good job at this.
I think I've had this conversation with 1,000 clients when they say, right, we want to break into new markets. We want to do things a bit differently. We want some innovation. And it hardly ever works, does it? So what has Stanley done that has made this such a phenomenon? What do you put it down to?
I think it's about seizing the right opportunity, and not only that, but paying attention to what is happening sort of with consumers and within consumer trends. I think brands can quite often just get single track minded and want to just do something because that's what they want to do and for the sake of it, instead of taking a step back and actually, you know, doing the groundwork to see what is actually being asked of them from consumers.
And what was that in this case? And what's the trend here? Is it the fact that everyone has huge bottles of water on their desks in offices?
They absolutely have jumped on the back of this desire to be drinking 5 litres of water every single day or whatever it is we should be drinking right now. But they also listened to some of the issues consumers had with the products that were already out there. So, you know, traditionally it's these kind of plastic bottles. Your water can sit 2 litres of it, however much you want in there. All day long, it's getting slowly sort of room temperature. It's getting a bit tepid and not that nice to actually drink. Whereas they saw influencers coming to them, telling them how good their cups were at specifically keeping sort of water or whatever drink cold all day long. So they
interesting. So are you saying the innovation is partly driven by a kind of organic movement of influencers saying this product's great, and then they realise there's an opportunity?
100%. And this is sort of tying back to that whole, you know, figuring out who the right influencer to work with is. They've absolutely nailed it here because they saw that these influencers saw something in their product which opened their eyes to the potential of these untapped markets.
So who did they work with then?
So they worked with a group of three influencers who all ran a platform called The Buy Guide. It's an American platform. Started years and years and years ago when blogging first became a thing, and slowly sort of gained traction and grew their own following massively. So it's three influencers that run The Buy Guide: Ashley Taylor and Lindley. And they basically did some sort of guerrilla campaign, tagging Stanley constantly on socials, writing to them directly, sort of campaigning to them and pitching to Stanley as to why.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a completely different way of going around kind of influence marketing. Instead of thinking, oh, who are these three annoying influencers constantly in our inboxes, they actually took a step back, had a look at the market themselves, did the research, and decided, you know what, these are absolutely brand ambassadors that we need. Mm. And essentially went into this new kind of, what was it, colourful, cold female audience, and has become this huge viral sensation. You know, they're all over Instagram. They're all over TikTok. There's constantly memes about it. You see news stories about sort of Target in America specifically, but more so now in the UK. It's a massively growing market here too.
Mm, very authentic, isn't it?
100%.
In fact, that reminds me, you know, was it the Heinz Absolute collab?
Yeah.
That came from, was it Gigi Hadid? Created a what was it, pasta a la vodka.
Yep.
And then Heinz listened to it and decided to innovate a product off the back of it. And I love that idea of it kind of highlights the importance of being part of those brand conversations and listening to how your customers will use your product. And often it will be in very different ways to how it's intended, but listening to those and learning from those in the way that Stanley have done is really powerful, isn't it?
Right conversations, yeah. Not just listening to everybody, listening to things that you think could be a decent product innovation, not just a PR stunt.
Exactly. It's not just doing things for the sake of it. It's actually backing it up with real life stuff. And I mean, yeah, it started as an American trend, and now we've got them all in our office as well. So yeah, they've absolutely nailed it with jumping on these influencers, sort of adapting to this new customer, which now forms the quite a big share of their actual sales. It's completely moved away from that traditional old kind of
thermos flask
style product that it was back in the day that I remember my grandpa having.
How much are they?
That's a great question.
I feel like they're going to be expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, they are at a higher price point. I think they're probably around the £20 mark, or $20 mark. I don't know what the UK conversion is.
Yeah.
Yeah, find that out. But yeah, and since then they've kind of then gone on to build sort of wider affiliate influencer marketing programs. It's just gone from strength to strength.
I was going to ask, how have they scaled this? So, you know, probably good fortune and sort of savvy marketing in the first instance, but you know, that can only take you so far. What have they subsequently done that's given this the scale?
Yeah, so they've starting off with their original three influencers, obviously saw the potential, saw things sort of growing organically, and then now they are regularly doing gifting drops with influencers. They've got paid brand ambassadors now. They've got affiliate marketing programs sort of running, all kind of tapping into that authenticity. They've got numerous sort of retailer partnerships as well. I think I mentioned it just before, but Target in the US is one of their biggest ones, and they just really sort of hype up this whole limited editionness of some of these as well. which creates this kind of supply and demand. I mean, they sell on like eBay now, some of the like limited edition ones for crazy money.
Sounds like Prime in its heyday.
People
were bidding 30, 40 quid for a limited edition.
Yeah, the cup version. And they're about 40 to £45 each, these.
Wow.
They're not cheap. But they do look pretty cool. So if Stanley are listening, if you want to send us a few to the office, we'd appreciate it. Nicely branded as well. That'd be good.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love this. Yeah, I love this kind of theme of listening to the right conversations. I remember years ago when social media first started emerging and you got lots of fan groups. Mm-hmm. Coca-Cola in the US, I think their marketing director or somebody in the lawyer, probably, it's always a lawyer, found there's all these fan groups talking about the product. And he went to the marketing director and said, look, we need to get these shut down. And the marketing director was like, absolutely not. What we need to do is engage with them and learn from them and give them product. And it actually turned into a really effective strategy for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And I think now, you know, platforms like TikTok and Instagram, you can identify how your products are talked about, can't you? And you can watch and observe and learn. And probably that's what Stanley did in this case, wasn't it?
100%. And I think it's that reactiveness as well. There was a viral story of a woman. I mean, it's quite dramatic. She got into a car crash and the whole car was basically this ball of flames. She was absolutely fine. But also her Stanley Cup was absolutely fine.
Like,
it did not melt down.
Yeah.
So obviously they made sure that we're right on this story.
That's absolute gold, isn't
it? Yeah, like what more? That's a PR dream, isn't it? On top of
it's probably made from what they make the black box in airplanes out of.
It's probably better than that.
So it's just that reactiveness as well. And they bought her a new car.
Yeah, they did.
It still had ice in it.
Yeah. It did, yeah. That was it. It still had the ice. It's crazy. It's actually crazy.
So they're having fun with it, aren't they? And, you know, from this very kind of conservative... older brand, they've really kind of segued into being a very relevant young brand, haven't they?
They've gone from like the fisherman's friend to like the Gen Z's best mate.
Yeah, basically.
Now, is this to avoid going over the same point, I understand Stanley's an American company. Yeah. Is it the same Stanley as in Stanley Knives?
Yes,
Stanley
exactly them. Yeah.
Right, okay, interesting.
And they didn't just kind of also stop at kind of just reaching out to influencers and making sure that influencers are sharing and part of all their affiliate programs and all that. They started getting into the PR game. They've got it in every best product roundup, the kind of, indie best style stuff. They seeded out loads of sort of review style content. So, you know, trying to assess whether they're actually worth the money and worth the hype. Turns out every journalist loved them, which is great. They absolutely are.
They're very pastel, aren't they, the colours wise?
Yeah, very pastel. I mean, there's all different, there's honestly hundreds of colours now.
Yeah, they do.
I would imagine.
Great.
So you can get limited edition ones, right? Can you
make
that?
So, like,
cool.
I keep going on about Target, but Target Red was a thing for a while.
Liverpool one, right. Chris. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Liverpool one. Socially unacceptable one would be good.
Now, is there a danger? I always wonder this. Is there a danger that they're going to extend the product range too far and lose credibility? Because you see that a lot, don't you? Overextension.
Yeah. And I think that kind of taps into that whole idea of a product maybe becoming a bit too commercialized, a little bit basic, and people kind of rebelling against that eventually. But you have seen a little bit of that kind of basic Stanley girl type, I say in inverted commas, type vibe, but they've not shied away from that. They've actually sort of started taking the piss out of themselves a little bit, and that's worked massively in their favor. You know, people love that sort of content where it's just like, I'm Stanley girl and proud, rather than
so it's become a defining. It's become it's like being a Prosecco, Prosecco hun culture kind of thing. Yeah.
Is it so popular though? And Gen Z are known to not drink as much as our generation, the millennials and the Gen X and everything. Is it also because a lot of people, because I've got friends who've got camper vans and stuff like that, and they go and they buy these types of mugs to put their beers in and their wine in. And is Gen Z doing that, or are they all just out drinking water with liquid death in it and stuff like that? You know, they do look quite feminine to me. For they look more for the female market. I know you've said that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the old thermos flasks was very much about man going fishing, man doing...
And they still do those products. Yeah, so yeah. If you want to go buy one, Chris, you can have one of those.
I'm not that old.
If you don't want the pink pastel one.
I'm cool. I want to be Gen Z.
I think he still has it from the 70s. It's, you know, that bright orange, 1970s
yeah.
orange.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, it's probably a bit of a collector's item now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know, my grandpa's literally still got some in the loft, like the OG ones. But yeah, but the now like a collector's thing as well. Like there are so many colours. People literally buy, I don't know, 5 different colours, 10 different colours of these cups so they can rotate through the colours. It's almost like an accessory now to your outfit. Obviously, they've got the huge handle.
I mean,
people just
dream.
Carry them around.
It's a brand. I mean, and the, quite honestly, they're making as much money as they can, quite yeah. rightly, while they can. But 100%. We know, because the product demand is not going to last forever, is it? Yeah.
So what are the results then? Victoria, what have we seen?
In terms of, you know, what we've seen across kind of the social side of things, over, I think it was in 2023, they had 150 million views of sort of hashtag Stanley Tumblr across TikTok and Instagram.
Why Stanley Tumblr, not Stanley Quirk? Sorry, Stanley, what is it? Stanley?
It's technically a Stanley Thirst Quencher. But so they just why get Stanley the Cup? It's just a very kind of...
Yeah, because we started with Stanley Cup, and now we're talking about hashtag Stanley I can't say the fucking word. It's a hashtag Stanley Tumblr. What is it? Is it a
Stanley Cup.
I can't say Quirst Fencher. No, Thirst Quencher. That's what I can't
say. That's a spoonerism, that.
And it says Quencher at the bottom. So is it a Quencher or a Stumbler? Fucking forget it. Stumbler. It's a Stumbler. That's what it is.
The official product is called...
What just happened then?
I don't know. I think
I had a breakdown. I have to move on. Yeah, my point is, what is the actual name of it? Is it Stanley Cup?
The actual name of it is a Stanley Thirst Quencher 2.0.
There we go.
If we want to get technical.
That's catchy, isn't it?
Yeah. Or is it H2.0, actually?
Flow State Tumblr. What's that then?
That's what this product is. Right. So the full product name is the Stanley Quencher H2.0 Flow State Tumblr.
I don't know why they've shortened it to a Stanley Cup. God.
Why did they do that?
But yeah, they've had whatever hashtag... 150 million views of that.
Amazing.
They went, like I say, they went into the media, gifting side of things, review side of things. They got over 200 pieces of coverage in a 6-month period, 6 to 12 month period last year. And they saw sales increase by 275%.
I mean, 275% increase in sales is impressive.
And especially when they're 30, 40 quid a
45 quid a pop, yeah, on Google right now.
Premium price point, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Well done. Great campaign from Stanley.
I feel like I need to go and drink 4 litres of water now. After
no, I think we should need to put some beers in it.
Can we get some Prohibition branded ones?
Maybe.
They're on order. Now, final question, Victoria, and I'm gonna land this on you, perhaps unfairly. The podcast is called Socially Unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Easy for me to say. And it's about marketing fuck-ups, professional fuck-ups. Now, in previous sessions, obviously nobody makes any fuck-ups here at Prohibition, so it's always at a previous point in your career, but I wondered if there's any amusing or interesting fuck-ups you've made over the years that you care to talk about, just to put you on the spot.
Just to put me on the spot a bit.
I think mine, just to give you a sense of it, my first ever job on my first ever day, I trod dog dirt into the office.
Oh, God.
That's pretty horrible, isn't it?
Terrible.
And my boss...
He was spreading shit on his first day.
My boss has still never let me forget that.
Thanks.
I mean, we've all done the classic thing of, obviously not at Prohibition, back in the exec days at previous agencies, of accidentally being logged into the old client social media and
then going out on a
going
weekend,
out, putting something up, and then thinking, oh, shit. And like that sort of heart palpitation moment where you're like sweating, thinking like this cannot possibly delete quick enough.
Documenting your night out on a client's sim.
I've done that and I'd not realised for a good sort of 15, 20 minutes. I did delete it. No one, I think, found out.
Until today.
So
luckily, nobody's probably reading the social media at 3 a.m.
Yeah, fingers crossed anyway.
There we go. That's very relatable, actually. I'm sure we've all done that. I think I've even done that back in the day. I'm not going to talk about what I did because it was awful. You know what I did.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for that, Victoria. That was a fascinating campaign. Really interesting to dive into influencers and a really kind of authentic campaign and very good fuck up as well. So thank you very much for that.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Are Are you feeling overwhelmed by the endless cycle of social media updates? Feeling like you're shouting into the abyss without any true engagement or impact? Imagine if your social media efforts could be streamlined, targeted, and effective, where each post you make resonates with your core audience and builds your brand effortlessly. Introducing Social 360, our comprehensive social media audit and strategy program designed to turn your online presence into a powerful, engaging, and rewarding experience. With Social 360, you'll learn how to craft impactful content, engage with your audience more authentically, and seal real results in your engagement and reach. If you'd like to find out more about whether the Prohibition 360 is the right fit for your social media goals, then I invite you to use the link in the show notes to book a 30-minute strategy call with me. During that call, you and I will work on your social media strategy and objectives, and leaving it, you will have a custom recommendation for your social media strategy in 2024. So just click the link in the podcast and I'll see you there.